and still don't. But if this all sounds confusing to you, I hope it does sound confusing to you, because you don't know what I've been through on trying to pin down some things that were very difficult for me to pin down. And I've pinned them down. I've got my certainties on them now. And so it's a lot easier for me to go through and do what I'm doing. I thank God for that, because this gap, they believed that that God took things and just it was like he was a bunch of molecules, or a molecule, or an atom, or a bunch of atoms, and he just threw himself out into space. And it's called the gap theory. And I looked at that, and I didn't believe that. Because when I was growing up, you don't know what a great influence my grandfather had on me. My grandfather was a man who really tried to please God. I've never known anybody that tried to please God as hard as he did. And I could talk to him, and he would give me an answer. And he gave it to me in such a way that he used what he knew and what he didn't know to do it. But he was a very intelligent man. I've often laughed at the elections they had in Batesville, because for years, she voted against my grandfather every year he ran. And Papa Mac didn't know that. And so finally, he lost by one vote. And she said, "Well, I'm sorry I voted against you, Henry." He said, "Well, how long have you been doing that?" He said, "Ever since we've been here." So in any case, it was a unique experience for them. And it was a unique experience for me. And the happiest time of my life was when I would get to go up there. As soon as school was out, and I didn't come back until it was almost over. But when I went to seminary, I had been taught by my grandfather that the things that were in the Bible about the demons and things of that nature, I had been taught that Papa Mac just said, "They're the devil's tricks." Well, I know that may sound kind of immature, but he'd explain it to me. He said, "They're the devil's tricks." He said, "Those things that they use and the words that they use and looking things up," he said, if you don't know what you believe about it," he said, "you can be persuaded about anything." I went to the seminary after I got out of service because I felt God wanted me to go there. And when I got there, I discovered that may be an immature way to put it, but that's what they are. They're fallen angels. And so I'd never talked to Tommy directly about it, but I had preached it and taught it and different things, and he had got the general gist of it. But I gave him a full test. I had the send down to him, and I asked him to research Montanus, who was the first one in the Trail of Blood, who was mentioned at the very end, and he thought he thought that he was the Holy Spirit. And I wonder, why in the same way did they put that in there? That Montanus thought he was the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know. And so when I put my book, what I did about the last chapter, last two chapters of Revelation, and I put in there what I believed, the school wouldn't publish it. Well, was I irritated? Yeah, I was. I had no sense lying about it. I was. So I came home, and I just put it up on the shelf, and I told Imogene, I said, "Honey, I don't know what I'm going to do about this thing, because I know what I've put down there is correct, But I said, they won't publish it. And I just going to put it up on the thing here and see what God does. And to my surprise, I got a call from two publishers that were running a print shop and wanted to print my book. And they asked me how much I wanted, what I would charge them to publish it. I said, I won't charge you anything to publish it. I said, if you'll just let us sell it as out of the church and the church keep the money from it, I said, I don't care what you do with it. I said, just as long as you don't violate it. And they went right ahead and published the thing. So from then on, the money that came in, we used to buy furniture over for the parsonage, and we always left it there. It belongs to the parsonage, and we used it to, that was one of the things we used it for, but we used it in the church for all kind of different things. So Ken and I weren't guilty of stealing any money or doing anything like that. We were accused of it, and that was a terrible thing to me. It really hurt me deeply because I never stole a penny from this church, and neither did Ken. We stole thousands of dollars. We didn't just steal pennies. No, and so that came along, and this has been a rough road because of it. I told you that because I'd never really asked Tommy to take a look at this monotonous. He took it. So about a week or so ago, I called him, and I said, would you take a look at that monotonous and let me know what you find out about it? And I knew what he was going to find out about it because, Lord have mercy, the time I've spent on that, you wouldn't believe. But I didn't hear from him. He didn't send anything back. A week or two passed, and I said, man, and I knew what was happening. So finally, I called him, and I said, well, son, you having any trouble? He said, yeah. He said, Dad, that's awful. I said, oh, I know it's awful. But I said, they've got this thing down there. And I said, that's why they wouldn't publish the book. And I said, this is the most confusing thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Well, why am I telling you that? Because it is. And I'm telling you that for this. When you finally discover what I believe about it, you may not like it either. But that's okay. This is an exposition of the two witnesses, part four. October 23rd, 2009, and it's found at what you see below, http://www.tribulationperiod.com. In parts 1 through 3, I attempted to make a case that the two witnesses of Revelation and Zechariah were actually two flesh and blood men who preached in the spirit of Moses and Elijah. They were not Moses and Elijah, but they had something in common. They preached a message of repentance. That was the one thing that they had in common. They preached a message of repentance. And they did it in the spirit of Moses and Elijah. Well, what do I mean by that? Moses and Elijah were two different men, but they both preached repentance. And when I went to the seminary down in Texas, I got up and did my usual preaching. And at the end, Brother Brooks corrected me on something, and I didn't really understand it. Then when they went over at the fellowship hall and we were all sitting over there and eating, they came on me like a bunch of ducks on a June bug. And I couldn't understand why. And so when we got back to the office over there, well, finally, I think it was Roy Cully, but I'm not sure of that. Roy said, you don't know what we believe, do you? And I said, no, I sure don't. But I said, I'd like to know. When we got over to the office, back to this regular place where I was doing the lectures, Brooks took me in his office, and he went along, and he said, Brother McMurray, what do you think of these? These two words, the scripture here. And he pointed down to where it indicated that the Texas Seminary believed that you receive the You receive a rubbing in of the Holy Spirit and anointing. When you're first saved, and then you go on in and you start serving in a local church. When he pointed and said, I want you to look at those two and see what you think. Well, I said, okay. But I immediately knew what the man believed, because this was something that my grandfather believed, and it was something that I wasn't going to start an argument or recommend to him. And also that they represented God's Old Testament witness, the assembly of Israel, and his New Testament witnesses, the local churches of Christ. I finished part three, this is part four, by saying I would elaborate on the figures listed in the two scriptures that follow. Revelation 11, 3 and 4. He said, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. I do not believe I am one of the two witnesses, and I do not believe that I am the Holy Spirit. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. Now, they were both clothed in sackcloth, so they preached a message of repentance, 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 repentance. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. I took what was written about these. I used the Greek words that were used in every single instance. And I asked Nancy Young to, I sketched out exactly what it said and exactly what it was pictured as. And I asked her if she would make me a diagram or a picture, a portrait or whatever she wanted, what this looked like. When she finished, it was two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And I knew that they preached a message of repentance because there wasn't any doubt about it. Now in Zechariah 4, 2 and 3, verses 11 through 4, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are on the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side thereof. I'm still looking for the original drawing. I haven't been able to find it, but I gave one to everybody in the church, and nobody seems to be able to find the thing. Nobody of any repute. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? This is a very wise answer. And I answered and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? The Lord knew he didn't. And I said, no, my Lord. Then he told the truth. He said, these are the two anointed ones that, and God answered it. These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Since the two witnesses represent the two olive trees, the church and Israel, as their representatives, they appear in Revelation as the two lamps on a menorah fed by the oil from the bowl on top of it. Now, which is a candlestick of a menorah with seven pipes that feed seven interconnected oil lamps with light producing fuel. The menorah itself, with its seven lamps, the number meaning completeness or fullness, represents the fullness of the Godhead. That's why he believed in the golden, trail of blood. That's why that man believed that he was the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that when you get saved, God saves you, And if God doesn't know who he saves, we're in big trouble. And when God saves you, he knows whether it's genuine, whether it's false. He knows what you are, who you are, and everything about you. And so there's no necessity to have a light for him coming from a planet somewhere and shining down on him. There's no necessity for that. The oil that gives the light to the world represents the Holy Spirit that presents the light, the word to enlighten the world in truth. The two olive trees are Israel, the natural olive tree, and the church, the engrafted wild olive tree. And the two witnesses represent them both. There never was a lot of trouble on this until, you know, I guess around the dawn of this age, until around the beginning of the last century. And up until that time, there were different beliefs by different churches about different things in it. But nobody ever really tried to pin down who the two witnesses were. They never really tried to pin down what part they fit into. And it's pretty wild. And the first time I ever looked into it and had to really study it, and I do know how to study. I haven't learned anything else. I've learned how to do that. And I'm a college grad. I'm a high school. I'm a nerd. The two olive branches through which the oil of the Spirit passes from the two menorah bulbs to emptying of the world are the two witnesses as attested by verse 14, Zechariah 4:14. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. These are two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I'm not one of them. I don't even deserve to go to heaven. But the truth is that these two are that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The menorah of Zechariah 4:2 equal the Lord of the whole earth, equal the God of the earth in Revelation 11:4, the fullness of the Godhead that indwells Christ. That's what it represents. But when you go over there and you start trying to piece all this together, I won't lie to you, it's very, very, very confusing. And the first time I went over there and I went and talked to them when the preachers were sitting together, and I asked them, I said, well, why don't you believe that, that what I put out is correct? And they said, well, it would cause a lot of problems. Well, I knew it would cause a lot of problems, but that's truth is truth, and I didn't have any real choice. So I wouldn't let them publish the book. And then these two publishers called me. And that was the agreement I made with them. They stuck to it. They sold the book. And they sold it for... I don't remember how much. They either sold it for what we sold it or more. I don't remember. My mind is not that sharp anymore. But we gave all the money to the church. We didn't keep any of it. And whatever we bought for the parsonage was stuff that we needed to wash clothes, you know, and stuff like that, and washing machines and stuff. We did that. So if that's stealing money from the church, well, I'm guilty. But the truth is, we didn't do anything with it. We were just honest about it. The oil represents the light of truth by the Spirit through the word from the Godhead. Okay. The two olive trees, the Old Testament Assembly of Israel, and the New Testament locals, and the two olive trees equals the Old Testament Assembly of Israel, and the New Testament local church called out Assemblies of Christ, called churches, which are represented by the two witnesses. You can see how complicated this is. In order to fit all this together, and to not have to violate the truth is not an easy job. And if you make a mistake, look at what you're dealing with. It scares me to death. I knew this a long time ago, and I wanted Tommy to look at it. Well, finally, he didn't answer. He said, yes, it is. And I told him what I believed, and he said, I believe that too. The two witnesses equal the candlesticks or two lamps, two individual lamp bulbs. The two anointed ones equal the two olive branches out of the olive trees. Lord willing, in part five, I will begin to answer a question as to whether there will be an Elijah who preaches in the same spirit of Elijah as John that comes to prepare the way for Christ's second event. This is not something that's easy to do. Up until the beginning of the last century, there were a lot of different churches that had a lot of different opinions about this scripture, the last ones in the book of Revelation that had to do with the golden candelabra. Now, Lord willing, in part five, I will begin to answer a question as to whether there will be an Elijah who preaches in the same spirit of Elijah as John that comes to prepare the way for Christ's second advent. I'll address it, but I warn you, it may scare you. And I warn you, you may not like it, but it's the only conclusion I've ever been able to come to. And Chuck's dad showed up down here, I began to see some things that I hadn't really seen the way that he saw them. And it helped me a lot to understand what I believe. But my grandfather, if you want to know the truth, was the one that had the most influence on me. He was a man that I never saw anybody as tenacious as he was about the Word of God. And he always answered within the limits of non-violation of what God wrote. He didn't bother to study the Greek language or the Hebrew language at all. But by some way, he understood a lot of the things. And when I would ask him, he would give me an answer, and it would always satisfy me. We had preachers come to the church the church itself believed that pretty much what I believe. And my grandfather believed what that church believed. But any church that teaches the truth is going to have trouble. And they had trouble. And I was young, and I was there when all that went on. So it's pasted a pretty bitter memory in me. I've gotten rid of that bitter memory. But any time you try to preach the truth and you try to please God, you're going to have problems. And so I have had problems with it. But I think I understand why they included that in the little pamphlet that's just read called The Trail of Blood, why they put that last one in there. Because anybody that studies that makes a very difficult answer to this. I know the answer. I think I do. I've prayed a lot about this because if I make a mistake on this, heaven help me. Because it's something that this is what God called me to do. And I don't have any choice in the matter. So I'm going to tell you what I believe about it before I'm finished. And in part five, I'll begin to answer a question as to whether there will be an Elijah who preaches in the same spirit of Elijah as John that comes to prepare the way for Christ's second advent. Now, it's not me. I'm not one of the two witnesses. I'm not claiming to be. And some people that, when I was over in Africa, there was a man who accused me of believing I was one of the two witnesses. I am not one of the two witnesses. That whoever they are, God's got to, is going to pick them out. And but there is coming a time when, I'll just tell you right now, we're going to go through part of the tribulation period. You might as well get ready for it. We're going to go through part of it. Of that I'm certain. And how much, when, if he is in or but, there's some things that I need to talk about. There's some things I need to get straight to you and to tell you. When you go back and study this, and you really go back and look at the things that are written about that first man that thought he was the Holy Spirit, you got some problems in there, because that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. He wasn't the Holy Spirit. But when he took this and looked at it, back then, he thought he was. And I've often wondered, why in heaven's name would they put that in there? And they put it in there. So I'll give you an answer to it before this is all over. And you can decide for yourself, which you will. But the long and short of it is, I think we're going to go through part of the tribulation. And I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I didn't tell you that, because it's what I believe. And it's going to take some people with strong courage, a dedication to God, and it won't be easy. But I'll be teaching on this, and I'll tell you what I think. You may look at it the same way the seminary did. I hope not. But I went and finished the seminary. I studied everything they gave me to study. I went backwards, forwards, and sideways on it, and I just don't agree with them on about having anything to do with Montanus and the group that he led, because anybody that thinks he's the Holy Spirit is wrong. He is just flat wrong. But they came up with this, and then what they had to do was go out and let God blow himself up and throw himself all over the universe. That's ridiculous. God is the universe, and it's ridiculous to believe that. So, what time is it? Got any questions? Okay, you better get ready for some shocks when I start breaking this stuff, because we're going through part of the tribulation period, whether you like it or not. And I'm convinced of that. And if you think that we're a model church and that we're just perfectly clean as a whistle, we got a lot to answer for. And we, just because we understand all this, we can't take any credit for it. If you know the truth, God taught you. Because that's the only way you can learn it. That's the only way you can be sure of it. So, Kenneth, why don't you dismiss?